good little chorus, actually.
Yeah, it is. Very nice.
Joshua chapter 2. We began to talk about Ruth. Let me back up just a little bit. And I think most of us have heard the story of Ruth. I preached on it not that long ago on Sunday morning when we went through the book of Joshua. So we talked quite a bit about it then, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time on Ruth herself. She was in Jericho. That Joshua sent a couple spies out. I guess the main thing I want you to remember from last week is the providential hand of God. I mean, if you can't see that in that particular story, it's amazing what God did. Here was this harlot lady who has a place. That's what I say. I'm not talking about Ruth. I'm talking about Rahab. I don't know who you guys are talking about. Let me read that. That's exactly what it is. For a while, I was using my medication. It's my excuse. But I've really not been taking a whole lot of medication lately. So, no, I got to find a new excuse. Old age works for me, man. Anyway, what did I say her name was? Rahab, yeah. Anyways, she had this place on the wall in Jericho. And when the spies came, you know, they went there. The perfect place for them to view the city, the perfect place for them to escape from. It just seemed like God was all over that. And when the spies entered into her home, I think there was an unexpected act of kindness. I don't think that they expected the welcome that they got there, but that's what they found, and it turned out to be a real blessing to them. But I want you to go down, and I guess I'll read the first six verses just to get started. But you'll notice when I read verse 6 that she really begins to show her faith in God. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, and I wist not whence they were." It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But then it goes on and says, "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." Perhaps somebody asked me once, why were those stalks of flax up on the rooftop? Yeah, I really honestly don't totally know. This is possible. I don't know. Maybe she had used them to hide jealous wives, husbands from time to time. I mean, I don't know why they would be up there. But evidently they were there. She had a long rope. Perhaps she had done something similar to this before. But even as we think about the providence of God, isn't it amazing that in the house that those spies went to, there were the stalks of flax to hide the guys in? It's just like everything just like lines up. Now, after the officials left, she went back on the roof to speak to the spies. And here is her testimony, and I'd like you to follow as I begin reading now in verse 8. "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you.'" She knew. "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." Now this testimony is good. "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." I mean, that's a powerful testimony. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, Since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. I mean, she was strong. Now, her testimony is accompanied with the fear of the Lord. Verse 11 said, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and in earth beneath. There seems to be a fear of the Lord with Rahab. Psalm 111 and verse 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. One of the biggest problems in the world today, no fear of the Lord. The biggest problem in Washington and in Albany, in Ireland, and wherever else you want to pick, there is no fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I think there is an agenda with the politicians, but they can't make a wise decision anyway because they don't have the fear of the Lord that they desperately need. It's lacking. Now, she knew. Remember what Paul said, by the way? He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There is a measure of a fear of the Lord. She knew, verse 10, she knew how powerful God was. And it was a healthy fear that convinced her that Jehovah was indeed the one and true God. She said, he's the God in heaven and he's the God of the earth. So she knew that. The spies swore to deal kindly with her, but she had to hang a scarlet thread from the window where she let them down, verse 17 and 18. The men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of a scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now that made the house very easily identifiable by the Israeli troops as they moved in. That scarlet thread is a symbol of the blood of Christ that turns away the wrath of God. I mean, they were coming in there, the military guys, they were coming there to do business. But they saw that scarlet thread, and they were not subject to that. So too, when we are covered in the blood of Christ, the wrath of God does not come upon us. I mean, we are protected and we are safe in the Lord. But it also made the house very easily to be identified with. Her home was distinctly recognizable from all others in Jericho. Now, I thought about something. Shouldn't ours be as well? Shouldn't our homes be recognizable more often than not from all the other homes in our neighborhood? I mean, when we used to live in Ohio when I was in Bible college, my kids are probably too young to remember this, but however old they are, that's how long ago it was, because Faith was born there. But anyway... Did you fight in the hospital? Did you? You got close. That's close. But anyway, they were looking for the hospital she was born in. I don't even know if it's still there, but you found a city. Anyway, our driveway off the road was probably about 100 yards off the road, and we had about 15 acres. It was a nice piece of property. The house was an absolute disaster, but it was a nice piece of property, and the kids could run wild out there, and we just let them go. I mean, hey, where are they going to go? Dan did go across the road one day, which was over 100 yards away, to pet the horses on the other side of the road. That wasn't the smartest thing he ever did. But anyway, you know, our neighbors, you'd come home from church on Sunday nights, and they'd have the loudest parties going on, or Saturday night a lot of times even. So I'd kindly go over there. You know, could you please turn the music down? You know, we're trying to go to bed. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and I got to get up early and whatever, da, da, da. And, you know, they threatened me, and they were just mean and obnoxious. And they had these, our houses ought not to be. I said, look, you don't hear that going on at our house. We don't keep you awake. at all hours of the night. The good thing was Dan's bedroom was on that end of the house. You couldn't wake him up with a tornado, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But it was just the idea that they just were so noisy and obnoxious. You know, our homes ought not to be like that. Ours ought not to be like all the other wild homes in the neighborhoods. The spy left, and Rahab told them to hide out. Verse 22, if you jump down there, that was in verse 16. But if you look ahead to verse 22 for a moment, and they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So then they reported back to Joshua. Verse 24, they didn't report back to the whole, everybody in Israel. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now think about this. Here's a woman who has a very unlikely, she wasn't the best candidate for somebody that God would use in a marvelous way. She showed great kindness. She had newness of faith. She expressed her faith. She gave her testimony in no uncertain terms. Everybody should do that. But there's one last thing I want to say about Rahab, and everybody knows this. She has an enduring legacy. You still read about her all these years later. She's in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Great Hall of Faith chapter. The battle of Jericho, for people that know their Bibles, because it was such a miraculous battle, the battle of Jericho is known by most everybody. It's a classic illustration of how spiritual triumph is always attained. Zechariah 4:6 says, and twice in the New Testament, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know how God gets things done? Through the working of the Spirit of God. And that's how God got this done. Now, God does not always work in miracles like this particular one. In fact, the times are rare when he sits aside normal means in order to accomplish his purposes. God doesn't really do much of that. Historically, if you study that, with the exception of three specific times, God has never done that. Very few of Israel's battles were won solely by a miracle of God. Jericho was. They had to fight in all the other battles. But by the same token, none of their battles were ever won without the Lord's power. And you can work as hard as you want to work, and you ought to work as hard as you can work for the glory of God. But without the power of God, you aren't going to accomplish anything. You need, I need, we need the power of God in our lives. Now, in the case of Jericho, it was clear to all in Cana that he was fighting for Israel. And Israel marched forward. Joshua chapter 6 and 7. One part, and then as you go down into Jericho, you find one part of the wall did not fall. It was Rahab's part. Look at verse 22 and 23 of Joshua chapter 6. Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. It was truly a remarkable thing. Now, I want you to notice a phrase in the middle of verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel. Obviously not today, I understand, okay? She dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to Jericho. This is an awesome, awesome example of the transforming power of God when people put their faith in him. She had very few spiritual advantages. Some of you were brought up in Christian homes. You got all kinds of spiritual advantages. She didn't have that. She didn't have anybody to sit down with her and explain the Bible to her. She didn't have a Sunday school class to go to and a church to go to. She didn't have Moses to listen to or Joshua to listen to. She didn't have any of those spiritual advantages. She didn't have any Levites where she was. She didn't have anything. But she risked her life, turned her back on the way of life that doesn't really honor God at all. She walked away from everything but her closest family members, whom she brought into the community of God's people. And from that day on, she lived a different kind of life, and she is a true hero of the faith. And she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. She lived out her life in quiet dignity and grace amongst the people of God. She was wholly changed from the kind of woman that she had once been. She was and still is a living symbol of the transforming power of God and the effect of saving faith. I mean, I think she's remarkable woman, remarkable story. James also mentions her to show faith produces works. You know, true faith always produces works. True faith always brings action. I mean, she stuck her neck on the line for those spies. In so doing, she was saved spiritually. Her and her family were even saved physically. But she is a reminder that God, by His grace, can redeem even the most horrible life. And she leaves an awesome legacy. Now, it's sad today, because this is human nature. When we say Rahab, the crowd usually says Rahab the harlot. Nobody else says Rahab the woman in Hebrews chapter 11. If I say Thomas, you say Doubting Thomas. He didn't stay Doubting Thomas. He actually had the transforming power of God in his life too. But this is a good lesson for the young people to learn upstairs and down that way and over this way. You know, a lot of our reputation is developed when we're young. Evidently, that seemed to stay with her. In fact, the scriptures allow it to stay with her the rest of her life. But we do have to think about a lasting legacy and what kind of legacy we're leaving behind. You're leaving somebody a lot of money or a nice car or maybe a nice house. Those are okay. But what about a spiritual legacy? Rahab brought a legacy to her family that all the money in the world could never replace. And that's a woman of faith who loved God and was dedicated, to the cause of the Lord. And when I leave and when you leave, what's the legacy that we're worried about leaving behind? Well, how do you want to be remembered? What do we want to be remembered by? Because if there isn't anything spiritual attached to it, you know it's all wood, hay, and stubble, right? Burns up. It's all nothing. It's all perishes away. The only thing that we do that's any good for eternity is what we do spiritually. And I pray that we'll do our best to leave our children and our grandchildren, I got a bunch of them now, a spiritual legacy. That's what's most important. And Rahab the harlot, that's exactly what she left behind. You still read about her today. As long as the Bible's being read, she'll be mentioned. Fact of the matter is, because eternity is a long time, you know, there's a pretty good chance that you'll meet her in eternity somewhere out there. There really is. I'm sure you will, quite honestly. Anyway, let's pray. Father, as we think about how you save people from the guttermost to the uttermost, and how we think about how you transform people's lives and how you transform this woman's life and the legacy that she left behind. She didn't leave a lot of riches, but she left a spiritual legacy. Everybody knows about Rahab the harlot, the scarlet thread, the spies that came in, that she hid and protected them, and how she was used for the glory of God. It's really amazing. So, Lord, I pray that we'll find courage, no matter where we are in our walk of life, how you can use people. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.